just all over for this evening, my friend.
I would like to call to order the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting for Wednesday, November 29th, 2017 at 5:30. And at this time, can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? The roll call.
Thank you. Commissioner Mansour.
Present.
Commissioner Alstadt.
Here.
Vice Chair Kirby.
Here.
Thank you.
At this time, the public shall have the opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. And today we have Cheryl Young. Oh, it's an agenda item?
Yeah.
A request to speak during the agenda item. Oh, okay, great. All right. Sorry, I didn't look. Amendments or adjustments to the agenda, I believe we got them.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does it need advance? When are we going to appoint a new chair? Does it need to be noticed in advance?
There are two commissioners up for consideration that'll have to be voted on by the councils first before they come here. And once we get all five members again, then we'll have a new vote. So hopefully that would happen in our next meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then, I'm sorry. You may have noticed that there was a new copy of the minutes from January 26, 2017. These have not been voted on yet, so these are up for your consideration today. These have been edited from the one in your packet because there was an error found. So the new one is the one up for consideration. The error was... Commissioner Massey's name was left off of the first motion under B1, and then on the last page, the first vote was not included.
So the approval of the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting minutes of January 26, 2027, I mean 2017.
I move to approve as presented.
I second. So that is passed. The discussion action item, historic B1. Historic Preservation Project Tree and Landscape Study.
Commissioners, we are happy to have Lisa Prosse here, our planning manager, who's going to take you through this presentation.
Thank you. Good evening. I guess we'll wait for... Well, thank you. As Ms. Gagliani said, I'm Lisa Prosse. I'm the current planning manager. I'm also the city's project manager for our historic preservation project that we have been working on. And so I'll go into a little detail. In June of 2016, the City Council entered into a contract with Historic Resources Group, or HRG, to assist us with the preparation of historic preservation program leading to an ordinance, leading to education. You know, once we have regulations and criteria in effect. There are many stages and steps in the process to get to an ordinance, and one of the first ones is, before we can write an ordinance, is actually to understand what the context is from a historic standpoint of the community. And that's where we are right now, is developing. The consultants have been here. They've been doing survey work, and they've been doing a lot of research to identify what the context is for Goleta. Given the unique characteristics in the setting of the city, we realized we didn't want to focus just solely on the built environment, which is typically what happens. You focus on the built environment and the forces in nature and the people involved of who created the built environment. Knowing Goleta, we recognized that there was more than just the built environment that was important to us from a historical standpoint. And those things included the archaeological Native American side of things, and then also the tree and landscape resources that we have here in Goleta that are important. Our context statement is going to be rather unique because it's going to, basically, we're looking at having what we call three chapters. One will be on the built environment, one is going to be on the Native American archaeological, and one is going to be on the tree and landscaping side of things. And together, that document will become our context statement. And from that will flow the criteria by which we'll create what the city will identify to be a historic resource, and then the regulations and the review process based on those factors. So that's kind of the big picture where we are. A context statement is really to provide a framework for evaluating a property for historic significance, and it highlights the big trends and patterns. It's not meant to be a detailed study and every little nuance of, you know, a historic property or people involved with the shaping of the community or a particular tree or archaeological site. It's really kind of to create that big broad brush canvas to set the context, right? It's a context statement for the community of what we believe, what we as a community believe to be what sets our framework for historic preservation. And I apologize for a typo in the slide, but anyway, that's the background. We found some great pictures along the way. This is one on Hollister Avenue. It's a gas station from around 1957, and then there's a picture of Hollister Avenue from 1906 that, you know, just is really, I think, charming and evokes, you know, our past. So the purpose of the tree and landscape study, as you will notice, if you've looked at it, you know, the document is only, the written part of it is only about 10 pages long. And then it goes on, you know, it has about, I think, 70 more pages just of trees and trying to capture the diversity and the types of trees and landscaping that we have. And this is from the public realm, not necessarily on the private side, but from the public realm. And it documents the presence of the historic and heritage quality tree species within the city. And as I mentioned, this is to kind of provide the broad picture, the more expansive picture of the trees and landscaping in relationship to the development of the community. It does work with, it works in relationship with the urban forest management plan. We weren't trying to supersede it or supplant it in some way, but really to add to that, because that is an important document within the community. And it is working. So what the document found, what the consultant has found, is that we do have an unparalleled collection of trees within our boundaries, and that both the Urban Forest Management Plan and our ESHA policies are important and need to be maintained. It also supports the process and that is in the Urban Forest Management Plan to support the Heritage Trees designation. And it also encourages the city to establish a process for the conservation of trees as we look at ordinances going forward and as they go be enacted. I'm just going to hit some of the, you know, the document highlights like groupings of trees or categories of trees like street trees. And here's some examples of street trees that they, you know, were indicative of the character, you know, adding to the character in the context of a particular neighborhood. You know, we've got different varieties of trees. There are some neighborhoods with palm trees, whether you like them or not. They do exist in our community. You know, other types of trees that really, you know, add to the ambiance of a neighborhood. And then there's individual trees. You know, this is that great camphor tree in Old Town. You know, we've got redwoods and oak trees on people's properties, sycamore trees, as you're well aware. And then we've got great groupings of trees in both the public and quasi-public. And I'm calling quasi-public, you know, places that, you know, might be on like hotel properties or someplace like that, that, you know, the people, public goes to, but, you know, isn't quite necessarily owned by the city. So, and then as you can see with this photo of the Barnstall Rio gas station, you know, the trees are, you know, do add to the setting and the context of that site. And this is just to be indicative of how trees, how the context shouldn't necessarily just be the building, but the property and the environs in which it is located. So as I indicated, you know, we have the three context chapters. We have been, they've been developed and been released for public review starting in September. The built environment was released at the end of September. The Native American archaeological one was released at the beginning of November. And then the tree and landscape one was released about 2 weeks ago. And we are asking for public comment on those documents. We're hoping to get them next week. If not, you know, it would be great to get them next week so we can take the comments, see where we need to revise the document. Ultimately, we'll be taking the whole context statement to the City Council to get for their review. And we'll do that before we launch into working on the regulations and the criteria. That way, you know, we all are starting with the same plane in terms of what does the community identify as being historic, so that, you know, there's a, we all know what the rules are that we're working from. So we are hoping to get your input tonight. And if you can't, you know, provide it tonight, if you want to email me those comments, you know, next week, that would be great. If you're interested more in the Historic Preservation Project, we have on the city's website, you can either go to the city's website and type in historic preservation and you can get to the website, or you can use the link that's listed up there that will take you directly to the webpage. And and with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have specific addresses where like these trees are in the areas that you'd like to preserve? There's a few gray areas that are not identified here. Is it in the major report?
The specific addresses are not listed. It's more by neighborhood. I mean, there's a few trees listed at certain sites, like at the Stowe House or in some of the city parks, but not unnecessary, or streets, street trees in particular neighborhoods, like around Lake Los Caneros or other places.
There's one area in particular that I've kind of followed along and was sitting in the intersection the other day and looking at them again and thinking, this is at the corner of Stork and Hollister at the new Hilton Garden Inn. I've lived here 47 years, and those palm trees have been on that corner. So I don't know if that property belongs to the Hilton. It belongs to the city of Goleta. I would like to know if that's, you know, that's the question. One question. The other question is, some of the trees are groomed and some are not, and the ones that are not are on Hollister Avenue. And those Mexican fan palms are famous in a stiff wind of blowing, and it will directly hit all the people getting into the right lane to get back on the freeway to go back into Santa Barbara. So it's not only unsightly, but it's a safety hazard. So I'm just wondering, if you're sitting in the intersection waiting to make a left-hand turn and you're on Hollister onto Stork, the palm trees that lined up, look at the ones on the right. They're groomed at the top and they're groomed at the bottom, but all the ones in the middle that are dead, there's at least 10, 15 feet on a couple of trees that are just, it's just sitting there, like they forgot to do it.
This is on the Hilton side?
It's on the Hilton side. So is that part of the designation area, since these are kind of...
Well, we will have to take a look
at
those trees, because off the top of our heads, I don't think we can answer the question, but we can...
We did have one tree that was intruding into the bike lane, and we trimmed that one. But I don't recall seeing any other palm trees.
Well, look at the ones.
We'll have to look at it.
Well, look at the ones closer to Hollister. Okay. I think if you're going to groom the trees, you need to do them all. And most of them have. It just looks odd to have the dead stuff in the middle. Because somebody whizzing around there, it's going to hit somebody's windshield and it's going to be a goner.
But we'll certainly look at that tomorrow.
Okay. So I was just wondering if those trees would be, you know, historic and...
We aren't necessarily, through this process, going to be designating historic trees. I mean, there's a process...
Or preservation there.
Well, what we're doing with this is going to be setting the criteria by which something would be designated historic.
Okay.
And through the Urban Forest Management Plan, there is a process to designate a heritage tree. And I don't think we're looking at, in fact, I know we're not looking at, well, we might tweak what is in there in terms of the criteria, but we aren't really looking to, and we would, if we were going to do anything like that, we'd coordinate with Ms. Gaglione and Mr. Morgenstern.
Okay.
But we aren't looking at, we're going to work with the framework that we already have.
This is the process, not the nominating of any specific
Correct.
Tree at this point. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I enjoyed reading through it. I really like the way that trees are celebrated, which is nice. And whoever, whether it's arborist notes or whomever it was who, you know, would point out particular streets with really good specimens on it. But one thing that I would really like to see in a historical kind of context is to have the dates of all the different neighborhoods, because some of them are called out. But not all, and so it seems like to be consistent, it would be nice, like when a certain subdivision was built, there's notes saying that, well, at the time, you know, such and such a tree was in fad or popular. Well, I'd love to know that information. I think that would be useful.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's some dates, but not all dates. So.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. What you don't have the benefit of, because like I said, this is going to be a chapter. There's a map, I believe it is up on our website. There we have them, and if you came to the community workshop, was that only a month ago? there we have a big map that we have the subdivisions by decade. So, and that map will be part of the context statement. So you can, like I said, no problem. We've got that.
Okay. There's a few other things I noticed that would probably be better for me to submit by email.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Just one quickly, and I believe the creek is Old San Jose Creek, that's mentioned a couple times as San Marcos Creek. So I saw that a couple times in Old Town.
Thank you for catching that. Sure.
Thank you, Commissioner Alstadt. It was confusing to me. I thought, where is Old San Marcos Creek? So on page 4, under individual trees, The California sycamore is referred to the sister witness tree, and I know it's been brought up in the past that it cannot be, you cannot have a sister witness tree because a witness tree is a demarcation for boundary property line. And the discussion that had come up in the past was that it should be referred to as the sycamore tree at Old Town Park.
Okay, we can change that.
And the other thing on page 6, again, the sister witness tree. And on page 7, you refer to the witness tree, which again, in the minutes that we have, coincidentally, for January 26th, Commissioner Messner had brought up that it is not a witness tree, but it's supposed to have been brought back on the agenda as the Hill Homestead witness tree, that it's not actually a witness tree because the witness tree was in the middle of Hollister, designating the boundary between the two properties, and it was removed.
If I could, Commissioner Manzer, but I don't believe the change in name was official or voted on. So I think it's important to have a distinction that the tree is known by many as the witness tree, but we don't know that it's the original witness tree and that it might be renamed. To assign the name to it, my question is, was there a vote and an official name change, which I think council does naming.
So on the agenda for, on the minutes from that meeting of January 26th, Chair Messner had requested this to be on the agenda, and it's never come back.
Okay. I would suggest we in the future agenda item, we add that, but the name has not been officially changed. If you even want to suggest some wording that, you know, while it's known as the witness tree, there's no evidence to support that. I don't know. It's an odd thing, but we never did come to an official renaming of it. So without renaming it, how would you prefer to have it referred to in this document? Is maybe in just saying it's the large sycamore tree that is in,
yeah,
in the middle of the Sizzler. We can avoid the names altogether.
Right. I do appreciate that you refer to it as the witness tree is actually a substitute, and you do call that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I do appreciate that.
So what would be your consensus? Is there a preference for leaving it that way, that it's considered a substitute, or just referring to it as the large sycamore tree at the Sizzler? We're not going to come up with a new name now because that hasn't been approved by the council, so we can't rename the tree.
But we can bring it back as an agenda item. So if it were approved, what I would do is I would refer to it as the Hill Homestead Witness Tree, commonly known as the Witness Tree.
So,
but we could discuss that and at a future agenda.
Chair, is it all right if I ask Ms. Prossy a question? Once again, the timeline. If this comes and then goes to council, will there be time to change the name of the document in the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it may not change before we. I'm sorry. We may not change before we go to council, but we can. This is not going to be locked in stone.
Okay.
Yeah, we can. The idea is that these will evolve with time.
Okay, so we can get this as a future agenda item for the PTAC and move it through council according to the naming procedures, and then you could make that change.
Yeah.
That would be the appropriate way to do it.
Thank you. Isn't there a nominating form where we fill these out and then it gets agreed on? And mm-hmm. Okay, so unless we submit this on that form, we can't really.
Yeah, but you want to agree as a body, and so then you
exactly,
can.
Exactly, that would be the formal process of doing it.
Right,
what I'm saying.
Right,
right.
And so that could be then submitted on behalf of the PTAC's recommendation.
Right.
With that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I would prefer, is to do this, because this would be the first tree that we would have this designated, and there will be many along the way, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get the procedure as it state in the the PTAC.
Correct.
So I think that would be the way to start.
Okay.
Can you repeat that?
Well, in our new corrected tree PTAC, There's a form that you would fill this out. So, you know, and we can do this. The public can do this. Anybody can do this. And it would be submitted. And if we look back through our new agendas, it's going to be there. And that way we could get it, you know, we could submit, have it submitted on the next meeting, and we vote on it, and then it's there. It's done officially, correctly. And so that's not just like maybe what if. We Great. Have the form and the procedure, and we need to I'd like to follow it.
Very good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Are we making comments about this study, or were you going to go over this study here?
This is Ms. Process's presentation.
Okay. I found a few errors.
Okay.
Okay. One of them is on page 4, and it's in the climate overview.
Oh, yes.
GLEDA's climate weather patterns, and the last sentence, low temperatures rarely fall below 40.
Right.
Precipitation is negligible with an average of zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we know that one's wrong.
Okay.
And I think it's supposed to be 19.41. Yeah.
I looked it up on the U.S. climate data right here.
Yeah.
Should be this.
19.41. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, what?
Yeah, other we'd be
even though
desert.
It feels like it right now.
Yeah.
In the next page on page 6. I'm going to go back to page 5. I was a little bit in puzzlement because I have, and I could be wrong on this because I'm not an arborist, but it's in on the paragraph, which is the kind of the third one down, plantings, parkway plantings in Goleta give a history, you know, I'm just going to paraphrase this. History of the city's urban forest, and liquid amber, Indian laurel fig, Brazilian pepper, Samuel ash. I always thought these trees were referred to as Modesto ash. So I tried to do some research on my own to see if this was the same tree. And I couldn't really figure out from the research I did. So are these two different trees? Because I always understood that these trees were called Modesto ash. And the pictures, it was a little hard to tell which how different they were. So
I can ask the consulting arborist who prepared this document if it is chamel ash or if it should be Modesto ash.
Exactly.
I don't really know.
Yeah. Because it's mentioned quite a lot in this report. The other one that I had a question about, and this is really more neighborhood characteristic and themes. And this is, there again, it's talking about the sweet gum and the Samuel Ave have outgrown their planting sites, aggressive root system, damaged, all of that. I understood the policy of the city is once we lose all these street trees that back in the 60s when they were planted, like on my street, it is the Modesto ash, that the city is preferring to have a more varied selection of trees because of disease and pests and stuff. So it was written a little confusing. Is this the way we're going to go? Or, you know, but this is what the city, you know, so that was a little bit clearer, you know.
Well, again, this is supposed to provide, we're not trying to contradict whatever we have in the urban forest management plan. This is supposed to just provide a context of the type of trees
in these neighborhoods, okay,
in relationship, and it will be used in relationship to the built to the homes and other structures that are in the neighborhood to be part of the criteria, possibly part of the criteria to establish historic significance.
Okay, the part that I was thinking about, if they're looking at this, because this is historic significance, not for future thought processes on new developments.
Correct.
Okay. So would the policy of the city be to put one type of tree as a street tree in a new development? Or are we going to, or is it going to be mixed up? So that was just.
We would be following whatever's in the urban forest management plan. And if on page, I know it's on little page, I should put my glasses on. Page 3, you know, it talks about that it's better to mix the trees.
Yeah.
For diversity and disease resistance and, you know, the other things that are important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I might, we had a discussion, for example, on Magnolia Street, where we're doing some work, that we were putting the little gem, I think it was, magnolia trees, that in some streets where it makes sense to carry through a theme.
Right.
As long as in the surrounding neighborhood you have species diversity, that's okay. So this is not, nothing in here is meant to conflict with the UFMP. This is really for you to consider the criteria for historic trees.
Okay.
And whether, you know, you might consider some of these that are in here, gee, would you think this would meet the criteria? And is this thought, as you look at these, yeah, well, thinking of this, then maybe this is something we do want to carry through. Or they might give a suggestion and there might be disagreement as to whether or not that's a valid criteria for you folks to think about, your commission to think about, then to provide that guidance, that input.
Thank you. That's all the comments I had. I especially enjoyed the pictures. It was a good representation. They were very well taken. A lot of thought went into that.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll share that with the consultant. Thank you.
I have a couple more things I just thought of. So on little page 3, big page 6.
Yeah.
Up at the top, so that should be Orange Ave and not Orange Street. And then in the back where there's some photographs of redwoods in Old Town, so that's pages 66 through 68. I've been told that those trees were planted in 1929.
So, okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is a wonderful presentation.
Oh, great.
You put a lot of work into it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think we have two speakers on this subject. And our first one is Cheryl Young.
I too love the pictures of the trees. I'm an artist and I love trees. Two thoughts came to my mind as I read it. One was, I love Old Town without sidewalks. Behind McDonald's, everybody drives slowly. Well, all right. I'm not there that often, so I guess I can't make a blanket statement. But it's almost like sidewalks aren't needed because drivers are paying attention to children and pedestrians. And if I lived there, I would hate to have the tree in front of my house removed for a sidewalk. So I think that that neighborhood needs to be part of the discussion. And I lived in Minneapolis for 14 years. Parkways are not 3 to 10 feet there. They literally can be a block wide and running for miles. There's no reason why parkways have to be the same here, but that term parkway to me designates something much more than 3 to 10 feet. There are parts of Goleta that are quite rural, so I suspect and I hope you're not planning on putting sidewalks there and anytime soon. until there's a neighborhood there. Anyway, thanks again for your presentation and for the work being done.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Cynthia Brock.
I'm very pleased that we're including these things other than the built environment in our historic resources study. That's really a good thing. And I'm very glad that you spoke about the conservation of trees in open spaces. I was going to speak to page 58, where I think that on the version that I downloaded from the website, it talked about the Elwood Main Grove. And I was going to say that I didn't print it off, so I don't have it with me. But
is this big page or
big I don't page. Know about little, big or little page. Little I just page downloaded 50. It from the website. But anyway, the one that I downloaded, it said Elwood Main Aggregation Site. But when I looked at the one out here, it just says Elwood Grove. So I don't know, perhaps my problem has been corrected already. But what I just wanted to say, in case it hasn't been corrected, is that the Elwood Main site, like if you look at the whole Elwood Grove, and it was this big, the Elwood Main site is like this much. It's just one of the aggregation sites within that grove. And since the whole grove is connected historically to Elwood Cooper, it's more accurate to refer to perhaps the Elwood Grove or the Elwood Monarch Habitat Complex than just to call out just the Elwood Main site. So perhaps that's already been corrected. I'm not sure. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments on this B1? I think we're pretty well set. B2 amendment to section 4.1.2 of the UFMP.
Madam Vice Chair, this is a continuation from the meeting we had in August on the amendment of section 4.12 of the UFMP. And basically, what came out of the last meeting was that the commission asked for the speakers to submit to them in writing their comments, and that the commission was going to submit to our Public Works Director their comments. None of those things happened, but the motion that was brought before and approved was to bring this item back so that the commission could go line by line through this particular section. So we're bringing it back today, and you'll see the entire section and the section also with the original comments that were submitted by staff.
I have some suggested wording. To keep consistent with the UFMP, my recommendation, ladies, is that we adopt the language for the heritage trees, removal of a heritage tree. I think it's very succinct, and I like the idea of keeping consistent with the rest of the document. Should I read it for the public record?
I believe so. That would be nice.
Okay, thank you. So the suggested wording, my suggested wording for 4.12.4, removal of trees. Trees in public spaces, parks, and open spaces shall not be removed unless it is dead, dying, or dangerous, subject to prior PTAC notification unless the hazard of the condition of the tree is deemed an emergency warranting swift action. An emergency is when the failure of a major limb or limbs or the entire tree is imminent and a threat to public safety, homes, or structures. In the event of an emergency, the public works director and his or her designee may order a limb or limbs or the entire tree to be removed without scheduling a hearing, I see a typo, with the PTAC. However, PTAC commissioners shall be informed as soon as practical.
Thank you. I have no comments. It looks well written to me. Jessica?
Well, I can think of several things I would like to add, and I'm sorry, I can't find my copy of my of this new suggested words that was in our agenda that I have here somewhere. I just wanted to compare it.
Oh.
But I feel like I have some questions here. So who would be deeming it an emergency situation? Would that be an arborist or would that be city staff? So, I mean, I have questions before I could adopt this.
I just took this from the language of the UFMP under removal of a heritage tree.
Oh.
All I did was substitute heritage tree with public parks and open spaces. So this is language that we've already approved for removal of a heritage tree.
So this is heritage trees only?
Correct. I substituted, okay. That's here in the UFMP.
Give me a second, I need to find my copy.
It's right here.
No, that's not. So this, what I submitted is different than staff submission.
Right.
And what I submitted is the language for removal of a heritage tree. If you look here.
Okay.
I just lifted this, retyped it, and inserted removal of trees.
I remember when we did this, so that's... So it'd be the public works director or the arborist. Because that would be his designee, or her.
Okay. So perhaps we should look at the staff's recommendation first, and then we can look at mine.
Yeah,
is there any way to get that up?
Or sure, can we turn that off?
Or alternatively, I seem to have lost my copy of the staff's recommendations, which I had on me all day, and now I can't find it. So I could just leave. Oh.
Mr. Morgenstern is going to go ahead and make a copy of that. Yeah.
Is the piece you need from the current packet or from a past packet?
Current.
Oh, okay.
While they're getting you a copy, if I could, so we recognize that heritage trees are unique, and heritage trees are special, and to remove a heritage tree is a big deal, which you know you don't. There are other things to apply this to all trees would cause a big problem for public works in that we do. I would what is more helpful, but what should achieve the same goal of not removing trees that shouldn't be removed is to really refine criteria. But as from an operational standpoint, we go out and we're doing a road project, we're replacing sidewalk, we're doing something, you get in, you don't always know how much of the roots need to be removed before you take the old sidewalk off. And as you start to go, so what we do is we expose the roots, we bring in the arborist who takes a look at how much root needs to be removed, and then whether or not the tree can be saved based on that, on the amount of root that has to be removed. So we do have an arborist involved in all of these decisions. We don't just go and do that. But we couldn't come back to PTAC for every tree that we need to remove that is not immediately dead, dying, or dangerous. There have to be things we can do operationally, as long as we're going with the criteria. So it's better for PTAC to work with us to establish the right criteria. And then if somebody wants to appeal removal of a tree, then that's a different story. But there are things that unfold. We also have begun using the larger tree assessment form for a lot of things. So right there, you're getting the justification is more apparent, so people could feel more comfortable about a tree that was removed. And yeah, I just feel it's going to create a problem, especially since this body doesn't meet regularly. That's going to cause delays to things. We couldn't wait and have a contractor sitting waiting on a sidewalk project until a tree comes to PTAC for approval. We will incur delay claims. We will have an unsafe condition of no sidewalk while that's happening. So what would be really helpful is just to make sure that we have all of the appropriate criteria. We will always, if we have a tree that is dead, dying, I mean, that close to death, or any tree that is dangerous, we will remove, because the danger, our first priority is to public safety. And for a street tree in particular, you know, we need to get those down. But I would like to stick with criteria that allows staff to operate, but within guidelines that the PTAC supports.
Madam Vice Chair, if I could add on to what Public Works Director Rosemarie is saying, we work on the operational policy that we never remove a tree unless we absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. Never. That is the most sacred thing we try to save out there. So we have to have solid evidence to remove a tree before we'll remove it.
I'm familiar with that. It's the last option.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when there's no other choice, and right. To meet the criteria of dead, dying, or hazardous.
But it may not be when we start. It may not be hazardous. It may be that we're doing a sidewalk project, and to finish the project, we're going to make it hazardous because we're going to cut off too much of the root, and the arborist will tell us, "You're going to have to take this out." But when you do, now the tree is not going to be stable. It won't survive, and you'll need to remove that. And we don't know that until we lift the sidewalk. So we never go in with the assumption that we're going to take these trees out. We go in with, there are some that we know they're going to have to come out, and then we take that to the council for a full approval of a project. And but there are many times when we go into these projects, there are trees that may end up having to be removed that we didn't plan on. We prefer to go in with the plan that we're going to save as many as possible. And that's what we always do. It takes a long time to grow these things. And we don't want to remove a tree that absolutely doesn't have to be removed. But there are times when that is the right thing to do, and it needs to be done right now because we have a contractor sitting, and as they wait, they charge.
Right. For any of us that have lived in Goleta, we know this process because the sidewalk is lifted, you root cut the tree, mm-hmm. becomes unstable, next good wind, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, even though the trees are an investment in our community, and it's, you know, we hate to lose them, but... Mm-hmm. Sometimes there is no other choice. So.
And also I would say that there are some projects, there are some streets in Goleta where in the near future trees will have to come out because given their age, Plus, they've been, like, there are some trees, I think it's areas like Carla where the sidewalk, we've trimmed the roots so much that we know that the next big sidewalk replacement, they're not going to make it. Now, there's a project that, since it's going to, it would incorporate tree removal and selection of replacement trees, that's a good project to bring before PTAC to say, look, we're going to have to plan for this. And we want the public to come in, and especially want to hear from the residents of what they'd like to see. And but that's a thing where we're not going in, we're not in an operation, we have the time, we're planning. So that sort of a project would come before you for your input.
Thank you. Any other questions, my fellow commissioners?
Well, I did come prepared with comments, like kind of not exactly line by line, but section by section. So, and I apologize for not distributing them before the meetings. I guess I figured we were going to go over it at the meeting. But I could easily send these, make copies of these, or send them. But, I mean, would you like to hear the comments? Or
yes,
are we,
please.
Yeah,
okay.
Please, yeah.
And providing copies later would be great, because then we'd make sure we got you word for word.
Right. So let's go back to 4.12, which is just the tree risk management.
Madam Vice Chair, if I may, just before you get started, did you want to vote on each one of these as they're read, or do you want to vote on it when you're all done? Each line that's presented, do you want to vote on it? Or
just to clarify, maybe read it, and we'll... It's kind of what we did.
Discuss it and then vote on it?
Yeah, we'll vote on each one, and so it's really clear.
But you'll do it line by line?
I think so. Comment by comment? Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So that would be...
Wait, do we do this before public comment?
You have to do public comment.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
I do have public comment. Barbara Massey.
Sorry, Barbara Massey, Goleta. I don't know where to start on this because I was up there before and we agreed last time that really there was nothing in here that worked and it should come back with something different, yet it comes back with the exact same thing. It says that the public, in the staff report, it says that the public was asked to submit their suggestions for this section. PTAC already had a copy of Ken Knight's comments on August 28th. Cynthia Brock emailed her comments to PTAC and Ms. Gaglione. So they did receive public suggestions, although the staff report says they didn't. And I don't know if the commissioner sent their comments or not. It seems very clear from the commissioner's comments at the last meeting that staff's version was not acceptable to any of them. So I want to know why the same thing's coming back and nothing has been changed. None of the comments presented by either Ken Knight or Ms. Brock is in here. I mean, in 3 minutes, I can't deal with more than maybe one thing in here. And there are a number of things where things are moving forward with trees being cut without anybody knowing about it, except Public Works, things that the city council should know. I mean, I find this really discouraging that what you got, I still feel like I'm part of the commission, is not acceptable, and you're going to try to do a few minor changes to make it better. And I think you're going to end up with a far worse project.
Thank you for your comments. Cynthia Brock?
Thank you. The staff report says that members of the public did not submit their comments in writing as requested. That's a lie. I did send my comments in an email on August 28th to all commissioners and Ms. Gaglione. And since the amendments submitted today are the same ones that were considered at the last meeting and have not been rewritten to reflect the concerns of the public and the commissioners as the commissioners requested at the last meeting, I just have to make the same comments over again. I applaud the addition of text added to Section 4.12.4 that enumerates some of the benefits that trees provide to our city and the environment. However, subsequent paragraphs of this section, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, are woefully incomplete. They do not balance the benefits that may be provided, even by the trees, with the characteristics described in the subparagraphs. Dead and dying trees can provide habitat and are part of the natural cycle in forests. Even decaying trees or trees with cavities provide important habitat value in natural areas. Trees with poor configuration or less aesthetically pleasing trees can certainly provide habitat as well as other important benefits. And many, if not most, trees in a forest, when examined individually, will be less than perfect. Trees that have previously been poorly pruned, while unfortunate, can provide perfectly acceptable habitat and other benefits. And most importantly, these amendments do not make any distinctions among the treatment of trees in the parkway, trees in an active-use recreational area, or trees in a natural passive-use area, such as a nature preserve. This policy should also reflect a difference between removing a single tree and many trees, or especially significant trees, like our heritage trees and others. A metric should be established regarding what should be brought to PTAC to ensure that the public is given notice and has the opportunity to comment. Consideration of replanting or restoration should be part of those agenda items. Subparagraph 4.12.4G allows removal of trees deemed hazardous in spite of possible damage to habitat and wildlife. There should be other alternatives considered. In some contexts, like segment closures of hazardous trail segments in environmentally sensitive areas, as described in General Plan Policy OS 5.3. This paragraph also recommends conferring with an arborist before removing trees, but in some circumstances, consultation with an ecological or wildlife specialist should be included. In some cases, a coastal development permit may be necessary, especially in the absence of a local coastal plan. This issue needs a much more complex and nuanced policy than is presented here to take into account the variety of contexts in which public trees are found, the variety of benefits provided in different contexts, and the variety of existing policies which may apply. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may, there are no lies in the statements. Obviously, there are a couple of errors made, but there is no reason why staff would not want to bring someone's comments forward. So obviously, something's got missed. I apologize for that. One thing that you may consider is whether or not you want to have a policy strictly for street trees in this, because street trees are different. In street trees, you don't... It's not a habitat issue of cars parking under there and people walking all of the time. So you have this path where you're saying, go here, and you can't just close sidewalks. So that may be an easier thing. For Elwood, there's going to be a separate plan. And it might be best for things related to Elwood to be included in the Elwood Mesa plan. The parks management plan, staff is in the process of selecting a consultant to redo the parks management plan. It may be a good place to have, things regarding tree removal for parks in that plan. There's also going to be the Lake Los Canaris master plan. And the old one, set even how many tons of dead wood per acre should remain on the ground. So it might be something to consider whether this is the place to tackle everything or to embed a lot of this in these other plans so that it's all in the context. And then you also have the public comment as well, looking specifically at this, because then you're really treating the ESHA as each ESHA as more of a unique thing. It's much simpler to get the street trees through because it really is, they are a different animal because of all of the people in cars going through, but that's just a suggestion because we are going to be beginning these three things very soon, and it will be rather than spending a lot of time on something that may end up being having to be redone, because when you look at a parks master plan, or you look at the Lake Los Carneros master plan, or you look at the Elwood plan, then you would go back and rewrite this. Whereas if you do street trees and then you incorporate by reference the plans for Esches and the new plans for Esches, and then they become part of the UFMP by incorporation, by reference.
That's kind of what I thought reading this part of it, because it's going to be much easier to move from type of environment to another environment, and have the rules are going to be different. I mean, we cannot provide dead trees in a parkway to create an environment for something. That's a whole other kind of situation.
Right. And we do look at in the parks. I mean, we have, even in Lake Los Carneros, we have some trees that we've left, and we're sort of closing a trail there just because there's things living in this dead tree. So even though otherwise the tree should come down, we're steering people in a different way other than that. And really, there's no way that you'd be able to address all of the bio stuff that might be other reasons for leaving things or how things should be handled. And so with these other plans, we also get all the biologists involved in that.
I know that the plan for the Elwood Mesa has been in the works for many, many years. And until that actually gets completed, I'm not sure that we can try to figure that, you know, to come up with a plan to be able to do it. I mean, what's happening now is an emergency plan for the public, the side of, you know, for the sake of the public safety. And it's heartbreaking for us all, but unless we get this plan done for the Elwood Mesa,
And council has
very
made
hard to move forward.
Yes, and council has made that a priority, because the public, as you know, you either remove the danger, the hazard, or you remove the public. And so the public came forward, and council agreed with them that we should remove people from the hazard as much as possible, rather than cutting down too many trees until we have a plan. So with council direction now, that's a priority to get that plan done. And I think that right now the Elwood Mesa has sort of gone beyond PTAC into council's hands to say, this is what you're going to do because we have this situation. But I do know that council said this is a priority. So that's that's not just words. I mean, they've elevated it to a level where that needs to happen very soon.
I was a monarch butterfly docent for, this would have been the 10th year, but I quit the program. I know for all those years, this plan has been, when we get this plan done, that's how long this has been. Mm. I would like an ETA of, like, when is this plan going to be done? It has to be a priority.
Well, perhaps for a future agenda item, planning could come and give you an update, because right now they're taking the lead in this. They have the biologists, and so perhaps we could have Ann Wells, the advanced planning manager, maybe just give an update on this as things kick off. We can talk with her.
I think that would be really good, because we need to get this done. The site is just deteriorating that much more without it.
Oh, that's true. And as I said, council has put their proverbial foot down and said this is a priority.
Should have never got to this point.
Madam Vice Chair, I just have one more comment. As far as the notes go, the commission asked the public to submit the notes to them, not to incorporate into any report, but for your own reference, for looking through these items.
Okay.
And you also clearly made the motion to bring this back so you could go line by line through what we presented to you. So we weren't trying to omit any information. Any of your comments, we would have, if I'd have received them, would have been incorporated into your report as an attachment. but I didn't receive anything, so that's why it doesn't have anything from your body on as an attachment.
Thank you. I was going to say the last time, I think I remember I offered to be able to, you know, I'm available to meet on some other occasion other than having everyone here on an evening session, you know, if we needed to hash out any of this. But then other commissioners said that they thought it was important that we were all here to make, you know, the decision together. And of course, now we're missing two people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when that's going to happen. But my offer is still good if, you know, there's another time other than right now, you know, whether it's, you know, that people want to just sit around. I don't even know if we can do that. Can we do that?
Well, we have to form an ad hoc committee.
That's right, ad hoc committee.
Yeah. Okay, so that was...
And you could have no more than two.
Oh, okay.
Would be yourself and one other person, okay. Commissioner.
Okay.
Staff would be very open to that. It's up to you folks, but we did that for something else. We had the ad hoc committee.
Yeah, we did, and then one of our members moved out of the jurisdiction, and we didn't get done with the work.
Yeah. But it is a nice kind of informal sit and hash things out.
Well, then you can just take the time of, I mean, we're going back and forth and discussing.
Like, yeah, I was a member of that, and you get a lot done, and you get, and if you need to do more research, the city does some research for you on your behalf for it, so that was very helpful.
So I'm still open to that because I feel kind of pressured right now because, you know, it's like I haven't had dinner and it's late and suddenly we have to vote and make a decision. And I feel kind of pressured. Also, I didn't obviously submit my comments to staff, so I apologize for that. But just in this discussion we were just having about these other plans for these, you know, open spaces that will be developed or are under development, I mean, it seems like there could be even more than just those three that were mentioned. I mean, what about like the Old Town Park that's going to happen on, you know, this on Kellogg, where this witness sycamore tree is? I mean, is that, how does management of those trees are?
That would end up included in the park's master plan.
Okay.
That tree, we're redesigning the bike path to protect the roots, to avoid the roots. So we're already in that plan and in the San Jose Creek bike path middle, mm-hmm. we're protecting that tree in place. And so as part of the construction plans, it's best practices that tree will have orange fencing. It may even have 2x4 fencing to protect it from anything backing up onto it. So you put those tree protection measures in the plans. And so that being one of our parks, then will be in the park's master plan.
And the reason why I brought that up is just because then I need to go back and once again go through all these different guidelines under the framework of this only being street trees, not any open space trees, not any park trees. Is that...
May I address that?
Yes,
Commissioner Ostat? So the way I understand it from previous versions that initially the UFMP was street trees, public spaces, and parks. And in one of the last revisions, somehow they removed the tree listing of parks and open spaces, and that's been my agenda item since July, June.
We don't recall having an official parks list in the UFMP. I know that you have an agenda item that you want on a future
former
item.
Commissioner Messner has it in his. A previous packet that he has, and he has shown me that it was on there, and that it got missed.
We'll look through the former stuff and see if there was a list.
And that's why I've been bringing it up. And so the difficulty for me is, which I find actually very frustrating, is that things are moving on with the parks and putting the trees under the parks, and it should be. Under PTAC, that's what
I think it's both. So I think
how can you have two commissions working on being responsible for trees?
Well, it's sort of like we have projects, but they're street projects or sidewalk projects. But if there's trees on them, we bring that before PTAC. So you're part of it. It's sort of like the Elwood Mesa project is. It's planning, and it's parks, and it's PTAC. It's everyone because there's no one body with all of the expertise to help in everything. So what if we look at getting done for street trees as the park's master plan comes in, then PTAC needs to come to PTAC so PTAC can speak to mixes of trees and why, and what do you want to continue with? I mean, there will be suggestions for various trees in the park. What does PTAC want to do with that? And you're part of that. So there isn't one, it's not just one group that will make all the decisions about everything. We need everyone's expertise. So in that, all of the tree stuff, we need to come before PTAC. That needs to happen. And then you're having the benefit of all the bio folks who are going to speak to the bugs and the grasses and the and birds and things that if you want to bring it all together. That's just the way I see that process having to roll out, because you guys are trees, public trees. You can't be left out.
It'd be similar to having like the DRB approve a development plan, but the street trees that they approve in there would also come before your body to approve the trees in the street, not necessarily on the private property.
Right. So the way I understand it is like the Parks Commission developing the new park. They will this is a generalization. They will preserve some trees and they will add some trees, and this would kind of, you know, it would be street trees, but then it would be creating the environment for, you know, not just people, but animals and birds and insects and butterflies and whatever. And then once they come up with a plan, they're going to present it to us. I think that's kind of what you're getting
at. If you're
involved
in the plan, it's a suggestion for you to weigh in on.
Exactly. So they're kind of doing all the paperwork and, you know, how this is going to do. And then they come, once they kind of get what they want, they're going to be presenting this to us.
Right.
That's the way I interpret this.
And perhaps we can have our parks manager, Joanne Plummer, come, and it might be good the way that Ms. Prosse came today, but to come and give you an overview. Once we get the consultant awarded a contract, then she can bring the process and show you where exactly you fit in the process and make sure that it's like we have our bike ped master plan. It is not it's not Parks and Recreation, it's transportation. But Parks and Rec said, hey, well, a lot of people do, and they get to our park. We'd like to have an update. We updated, we took input, you know, and then it goes to planning. We have, you know, things that aren't necessarily in planning's purview, but planning says, you know, we feel it's important and we want to see it. There's this openness that we want to make sure that everybody is involved. So we could ask if Ms. Plummer can, once we have a consultant, can come to you and make sure that also that you're happy with where your input would come in. So she could schedule getting your input.
And I also think it would be good for the public to know that we're inputting on this, creating the environment, you know, for trees that will be left for environmental purposes, so you can address it there rather than, because right now I think we're addressing a different subject that's not going to be pertaining to that right now.
You're trying to address something really big.
Really
that
big.
You don't have all the information
right.
to address.
Yeah.
And if we get the street trees and then we get you in on everything else, it just, everyone just has to make sure that in their schedule of events,
yes,
coming before PTAC is part of that schedule of events, and that your input is taken, your input is recorded, and there you go.
And so the input is taken because they have used the list, the parks tree list that we are going to have in our UFMP.
And it could be that, and it could be for maybe they have some suggestions that you're going to like better.
And that would be okay too.
Yeah, and you're gonna. So if it's things that aren't listed, then they're gonna present these and show you why, and then you're gonna have input on that. And if you don't agree, you don't agree. So there, you know, there's no intent to fly
it
by you.
Yeah, it was like the Magnolia Street project.
Yeah,
you know, because. You need to all work together for a harmony. You know, for a good result at the end. So I drove by Old Town the last day or so, and I looked down, and it was wonderful, you know, to see this mixture in the trees, and it looks so much better. and done in a timely manner. We were just voting on this, so
yeah.
So I think that's the way. It seems a little foreign right now because we're just getting used to this system that we're trying to develop. I think is what.
And Park and Rec is fairly new commission,
right?
And we have a new position in the Parks Manager.
Yes.
So where in the past Public Works would have been working on these things, thank God we have a Parks Manager. but that doesn't separate it out. It's one city,
right?
And whether it's planning, putting their finger here, Public Works, PTAC, it's one city,
right.
And we need all of your expertise and input,
right?
So Ms. Gaglione. On agenda item B2 under discussion, starting with 4.12, tree risk management, that really should be street tree risk management. Because you're mm-hmm. specifying this is just for street trees.
Yes, we can make that street trees.
Is that not? Well, because that's mm-hmm. what you said, that this, incorporating this for street trees, open spaces and park spaces, it was too general, and each area needed to have its own.
Well, what I'm suggesting is you're not going to be able to make rules that are going to be necessarily the rule for Elwood Mesa, because that's going to have its own plan. You could even say these are street trees and trees adjacent to sidewalks and streets. You don't have to say if this is the park line, you can't cross it. So we're looking at things that line the walkways and the streets. So if you have,
so you staff mm-hmm. was looking for us to, I think, at least for me as a commissioner, when we expressed that we were dissatisfied with this and we wanted it to come back, right. That it was going to be modified, and it does appear to be exactly the same.
Well, that's because Mr. Morgenstern said we didn't get things from you, and we brought it to you for a page turn. So whatever you have, whatever you want to give us tonight, we will incorporate that in.
This also goes before.
What's that?
So I think for Mike, the commissioners here, like section 412, if we added street tree risk management, just by adding street, that would clarify it a bit.
Well, I just heard something down here that might change that. So,
Madam Vice Chair, I was just saying that this does, in my opinion, apply to both all public trees, park trees and street trees.
Okay.
Because they're just as dangerous in the park if there's something wrong with the tree and there's a problem and it's dying and it might fall or whatever the case might be. So this really does apply to both street and park trees. Or even open space trees, all public trees. I think you'll look at 412.1, it says proactive public tree risk management. It's public trees, so.
In the opening paragraph here, though, but I think if you reworded it where it would say street and you know, open space areas.
Mm-hmm. How about just saying not otherwise covered by park management plan, ESHA protection, you know, maybe not otherwise covered
exactly.
by these certain plans. So there'll be something
yeah.
in place till we get these approved, but then those plans would be incorporated by reference. How's that?
It is a general, yes.
Right. So we have something for now,
yeah.
but we are going to have other people working on the meat and potatoes of,
okay.
of the parks stuff with your help.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with that.
That's okay. Because for now, so we'll just say city trees not otherwise covered in other specific plans. We'll, and so until that happens, it'll.
That clarifies.
Yeah.
Commissioner Alstadt, I'm inclined to agree with Commissioner Alstadt. I am not prepared to vote in favor of this. If there's interest in sitting down with an ad hoc, I'd be willing to do that. But I can tell you now at this point, whatever the discussion would be, I would vote no.
Well, I think they wanted us to go through line by line and give our changes of tonight.
Yeah.
We could get, or unless you want to have an ad hoc on this.
I'm not willing to vote An affirmative. I would vote no.
So you're not willing to make comments line that, by line here?
There's nothing about it that I really like.
We aren't asking you to approve what you already saw that you didn't like before. We're asking that you provide comments and guidance so that we can rewrite it into something that you could vote for.
Right.
We're very clear on that. We are not expecting we're just going to shuffle it around and hand you the same thing and make you feel different about it. No. So we would like to. There was a request for a page turn. We didn't get stuff in writing from you before. If you would like to start giving that to us now, and if you have copies of things to give us as well, so it'll make it easier for us to incorporate word, then we can work it and send it back to you.
Are my fellow commissioners wanting to go through word by word, or
we can do it
do you feel prepared at this point? That doesn't mean, because they will interpret part of this and then bring it back, and then if you have other thoughts later on, you can bring them back.
Unless we have an ad hoc in the next short amount of time. I mean, I know that I was partially to blame by not, you know, working to get my comments out to everybody, but I'm willing to meet in the next couple of days to make some progress on this. Would that be helpful?
There's a minimum. Is there a minimum for an ad hoc committee?
Well, I know it's at least two because we had two before.
We
two.
Can't have more than two because then you have a quorum. So
we can't have less than two.
I mean, I don't know what the schedules are for.
So
Phoebe and myself in the next 2 days to be able to meet to do this
or next week. Ms. Gaglione or Mr. Morgenstern, someone over there suggested that we could go away from during the meeting, go away and individually put together our own comments, submit it back to staff to incorporate, and then we come back again.
You can do that, but you can't work together on it.
Correct. I understand that.
Or we could have the ad hoc where maybe you can everyone can funnel their comments to two members who can help us work.
We cannot have an ad hoc because it would be a majority of the group because we only have three at this point. So we'd have to wait till we had five.
So
one person.
No. Okay. Well, then you can't do that.
All right. I would be in favor. In fact, I'll just make that motion that we table this.
Okay.
And tell, and the commissioners are required to. In a timely fashion, go through this, come up with your own comments, submit it back to staff, and that we schedule another meeting that's a little closer than how many months that is.
We'll get that done.
Perhaps the beginning of the year.
Could you consider adding to your motion, ask the people resend their comments to you?
Certainly.
So that you can, if people could resend comments to the commission, I'm asking her to redo the motion or add to that to the motion, that'd be great.
Okay.
And then you can funnel those to us.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yes. And I would.
We can also incorporate.
Sorry, Madam Vice Chair, we can incorporate the comments by color or by title under each one of the sections, and you can have them all lined up under that one section. So when we come back to your body next time,
we
can all see what
you
all said.
That's kind of what we did when we went over the, which worked well, but, and I'd be willing to go through some of this now, but if my fellow commissioners feel like they need more time to kind of put it together, because we won't probably, if we get hopefully get a couple of commissioners by the first of the year, we probably wouldn't be looking at working on this until the very early part of next year, maybe into March. Of scheduling and everything else. So I just, you know.
Well, we can check. Staff can check.
With the holiday season coming,
right.
It gets kind of
so
tight.
So staff can check starting in January, see if in late January there's some time that will work for everyone. So let's just commit to January.
Okay.
And if nothing works in January, we'll go to February. But I think that what gets scheduled gets done, and we just need to make sure that it doesn't go longer.
Vice Chair Kirby?
Yes.
May we have the comments sent through the city clerk's office?
Okay.
Clerk's office. So do you want it to go through the city clerk's office completely? Okay, so everything will go through the city clerk's office and they'll distribute to staff.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. But I do have a question while you all are there about one thing. Can I ask? Yeah. So given that we're talking about street trees primarily, with the understanding that this will cover those other areas that will eventually be covered under their own park plan.
Correct.
Can you explain 4.12.3, which is implement defensible space procedures in high fire hazard areas identified by the county fire department?
Absolutely. If you had the fire department, we have to have defensible space around, around homes. But if you have even in a this probably pertains more to a park area. So mm-hmm. if you had trees that there were, maybe they weren't completely dead, but you had a lot of dead limbs and you have a lot of grasses and things, the fire department would come in and have those cleared. But normally that there you would really have dead trees that they would want cleared out. So I think this would be more with grasses. And I would assume this is just in here so that everyone knows. If the fire department comes in and says an area must be cleared for fire purposes, then that's at a safety level. They would give us a letter. They would give us a written order to do so, which would then supersede everything else because they're putting us on notice of a fire danger.
Well, I'm just wondering how that works in a street tree setting, because the trees are pretty far apart. I mean,
right.
Are they going to come?
And it doesn't.
Cut
it
down
doesn't.
The tree in front of my house.
Right. So it doesn't. Yeah. So this is more for open space. So as we're okay. saying, we can leave this in place for parks and open space, except areas where there's another plan that would supersede okay. that.
And the same thing is for 4.12.2, which is coordinate the public urban tree risk management plan with the community wildfire protection plan.
Right. And that again would be an open space issue okay. where we're and that plan, I mean, it talks about, even how, that also talks about the tons of dead wood you can leave on the ground per acre, so it's pretty specific. So you guys are going to have to start to see all of these things as they're updated now since you're here.
They used to call it fuel modification zones.
I like that.
This
is more of the public space and preserves like Elwood Mesa, because I went to a meeting a few years ago. The city had an open house at the community center and the fire department was represented there, and it had a very informative map on the most hazardous areas in the city of Goleta. Mm-hmm. And it is the Elwood Mesa, and this is going to be a situation where many homeowners came out and they wanted the trees removed right in back of their property that's overhanging and whatever. And they're still there, but the fire department didn't deem that it was that much of a hazard at the time. So, but some of these are very healthy trees. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it kind of comes in, where the fire department makes the decision, and it's totally out of our hands, mm-hmm. even if the tree is healthy. So,
well, they don't decide without reason. They do
right.
see. And for example, right now, I mean, Lake Los Carneros, another as we go through more drought, if we don't get enough water, we're having a lot of trees dying off there.
Right.
And then you have historic structures, and you're in the middle of a neighborhood, and. Who knows in the future what, if things continue in a downward spiral in terms of water, that's going to change the face of the city in regards
exactly.
to trees, period, because we haven't been planting new trees right now overall because of the water situation. Then you start fighting about water for people versus water for trees, and it's sad.
Could I just ask one final question here? Final question. So section 4.12.6, trees required to be removed for construction or public works projects are subject to CEQA requirements under their specific project and are not addressed here. And it just occurred to me, it seems like that
could be pretty much every tree.
Well, no.
With any city project?
Oh, okay. Or,
and so could you please?
No. So that wouldn't, that, so as I, so in projects where there may only be a few trees impacted, I mean, CEQA's going to tell us we're going to have to mitigate anyway. If we have a project like replacing all the trees, say, on Carlo or something, that is primarily a tree removal and replacement project along with the sidewalk. That rises to a level of PTAC. We also, if we have tree removals and, as I said, we wanted to bring have a different tree, type of tree planted than what was on the list, we bring that to PTAC. You could, you know, there's nothing to, in here to say that you can say that if either a certain number of trees are removed or a certain percent of the trees in that area, regardless of CEQA, that PTAC would like to see the plans come to them. So you can do that. CEQA already tells us we have to do all of this mitigation. We have to protect trees, and we have to replace them when we take them out. Maybe not in that exact same spot, but somewhere.
Yeah, I guess I hear what you're saying, but I guess I read this more to that this final guideline basically says that anything under a construction or public works project under CEQA, all these guidelines don't apply. Because it says right here, they're not addressed here, and this is the very last guideline for the section, tree removal. So right. I just suddenly read that, meaning, oh, well, if it's for a construction or a public works project, none of this applies.
Well, because the reason that we remove a tree as part of a public works project is that it's in the way of the public works project. So it's not being removed because it's dead or dying. It's not being removed for any of those reasons. It's being removed because this sidewalk has to go through, or this bridge is going in and we need to put an abutment or footing there and the tree has to be removed. So it's totally different, and that's where CEQA comes in and makes us justify, so a different set of criteria, justify the removal of that tree. So it is different because there it's in the way of the project. And that's the only reason that it's going. Not because it'd look better without it or something like that. It's because it's in the way.
Well, yeah, and I think that's an important distinction. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the members of the public might like be shocked to find out, oh, well, I thought we had this urban forest management plan. It's like, well, no, actually, that doesn't apply.
Maybe it needs to be better explained in here, the reason,
so
that people reading it would know why this is different.
Okay. We had meeting.
Thank you. Opportunity for a good comment.
Yeah, exactly. I'm making a note.
Well, we had comment before in our PTAC about some of the new projects going in. Could we look at the tree plan? And we were basically told, no, that's the Planning Commission. That's the Planning Commission.
Or on private property?
Yeah, like okay. The new developments going in. And so that we could do nothing about it. But I think we all still feel like if you're going to take a tree out because you need to put a building in, that you need to plant another tree someplace else.
And they do have to. So that's where CEQA also comes in. I mean, they should be looking at that. They have to have a landscaping plan. And so what ends up happening is there should be some balance that you're replacing something.
Yeah. That's why when I look at a project, now that we're completing some of these bigger projects, mm-hmm. I'm looking at what was there and what's left, and it just seems a bit extreme or not. They, you know, like example, that same palm trees there at the Hilton Garden, you know, it's like I was concerned that they would be taken out, and so I'm happy to see they're there, but you need to maintain them, you know, or something, like who owns them and who's responsible. So
so your commission can also always send a letter to the Planning Commission if there's something you're not happy with. I mean, there are things that approval isn't the purview of the Planning Commission, and Public Works we don't regulate those projects. So I don't know how those come in, but you can always request that something.
Well, I asked it at a former meeting. Who is that on city property or is that on Hilton property? And I still have never really gotten an answer on that.
We'll find out for you, and Bob will email you.
I would like to know that. because it makes it real easy.
Sure.
To figure the go-to, you know, and there's other areas where I'm like, who's maintaining this tree? Is it our tree, or is it, you know, the business tree? Or
as a matter of information, even if it's a private tree that's encroaching on city property or encroaching over a sidewalk or anything like that, we issue a trim notice, and that gives them 10 days to correct the problem, or we go in and we do it and we charge them for it.
Oh,
so
good information.
We do have power, even if it's not our tree.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions, my commissioner?
No.
Okay. So I.
Excuse me.
We are going to. It looks like we're going to send our comments to the city clerk, and we're going to bring this back for a future agenda item. I don't believe I need to take a vote on this. Oh, we do. I make a motion that we bring this back as a future agenda item.
You have a motion. Oh, okay. You have a motion and a second.
Okay.
You just need a vote now.
Oh, I thought we did.
I thought we did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
You voted?
Okay.
We can vote twice. Vote
that's
early
okay.
and often.
future agenda items.
There is.
Oh, okay. We have a director.
I have no major report for. I would like to say we had a. There's a heritage oak at near the Stow House that a limb was removed to save the tree. There was a lot of, we had two arborists looking at that, and what happened is long ago, one large limb fell off on the one side and was trimmed, but then there was still a limb, what was that, like 40 feet or something? I mean,
at least, yeah.
It was at least 40 feet out, and there's a lot of empty space in the trunk that has rotted away. And so we looked at, I mean, there was a suggestion to build these concrete structures to hold up the limb or use cabling. But if we cabled, we'd be cabling into a weak trunk. And eventually what was going to happen is this tree was, it was starting to list. Yeah, over to Walker. But we had the one limb removed to rebalance the tree and save the tree. And we had some inquiries about that and why, and as a matter of public record, we provided the arborist reports on that. So we're happy to say the tree, we were able to save the tree, but there was one limb that had to be removed. There's just nothing left inside to hold it up.
What did you do with the limb?
Sit back at the...
Was it left in place to create a habitat?
We have the limb in pieces at the yard.
That is not a place for... For habitat, there's a walkway there.
Oh,
and
okay.
We have lots of wood on the ground
okay.
now in Lake Los Caneros. So
okay.
Other things we're cutting down, we're leaving there
okay.
as much as possible.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And that concludes my report.
I have one bit of information.
Okay.
We are now, this morning, started removing 24 trees off the mesa that were designated as dangerous on the first trail over there. So we should be done removing those by tomorrow.
This is in the Grove?
In the Grove.
And we had Dan Mead, Althouse and Mead, out, the butterfly guy and the arborist, and we'll have John Storr Environmental. Watch it as a monitor with
John
the crew.
John is out there monitoring, but he also gave instructions according to the requirements mm-hmm. of the Coastal Commission as part of our permit to remove those trees. So they're all trained, and they also were trained in the safety precautions taken to eliminate as much pedestrian traffic as possible.
I was just going to say the material, is it being removed from site or chipped?
No,
or?
The material is being chipped and broadcast over the areas, not including any of the channels or creeks, and the larger trunk pieces are being used as markers for the trails along the side, okay. as specified by the Coastal Commission.
Okay, thank you. And that will be completed this week?
That'll be hopefully by tomorrow.
Okay. And there will be no other trees cut down during the butterfly season on the mesa?
No more trees will be cut down. The permit from the Coastal Commission is only good through December 31st.
Okay.
Right. I will say, if there's some other, if something else is brought to the city's attention and the arborist feel that it would need to come down, then that would come to council and we would have to modify. This is really going to, I think, be kind of a fluid process, because as things, if things change and they become dangerous, then while the plan is being put together, then we would need to come back to council and give, there's going to be regular reports to council on what's going on in the Mesa. And so that would, then we would have to go back to them. We would have to modify the Coastal Commission application. So, it's a whole process with checks and balances.
So in order to remove any more trees after starting January 1st, 2018, we're going to have another permit from the Coastal Commission to do that. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the public trails, will there be some consideration of trying to remove some of the trees on some of the other trails for the public,
not
close
other
to
than
the public?
Right now, not other than those already deemed by the council to be reopened. So there was a lot of public input limiting, talking about which trails and limiting the number of trees to be cut.
I would like to request, when you are making the report to council, if you can also send that to PTAC, because as a public tree advisory commissioner, people ask me, oh, what's happening? And I don't know, unless I'm following every council meeting and planning commission meeting, just kind of CCS and say, here's the report, here's what's happening.
So we're informed. We'll ask Ann.
I think that's an excellent idea, because I'm also getting all these questions, and I would rather be giving the correct information rather than through what
We will have planning do that. We'll get all of your email addresses to planning, so that when it goes out, you'll be copied on that and get a copy.
Thank you so much.
And just once again, you don't expect any work to take place between Christmas and New Year's?
We're not expecting any work to take place between Christmas and New Year's. Okay. As I said, if something happens, if a tree falls down, goes over a trail, we're going out and cleaning it up and reopening the trail. Other than that type of real emergency work, we won't be doing anything else.
Future agenda items. I am putting down, I would like to have an update on the report for the Elwood Mesa plan. Plan for the Elwood Mesa.
Yeah, we have to ask Ann to come in. Okay.
And I'm going to restate the agenda item to create a parks and open spaces tree list. Bring that back. And the naming of the witness, renaming the witness tree and sister witness trees. And oops, where am I going? At the end of the report, the Historic Preservation Project Tree and Landscape Study, I found it very intriguing. The city can establish a process for conservation of trees in open spaces, and I would like to bring that back as a discussion item.
Is that covered by what planning is doing, though?
I don't know. Can you tell us?
I'll talk to Lisa.
Okay.
Okay.
Just as a matter of clarification, we currently don't have any restrictions on trees in parks and open spaces. So did you want staff to make a recommendation for trees that should be planted out there? Or
we're getting into the other plan.
She was saying that she wanted to have
a tree list.
Tree list. Mm-hmm.
Parks and open spaces.
I mean, the tree list is endless at this point, so it's up to you if you want to
certainly
restrict it, or do you want us to suggest it?
Staff can suggest it.
It might be easier. Yeah. So. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring, suggest something for us. That would be great.
Okay. I can get that from. I can get that from our arborist.
Future agenda
selection.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to prioritize these? You want to?
I want mine first.
I want mine first because I said.
Do you? I mean, we're in moving forward with the design of the park and seeing that this the historic preservation process is moving along. Do you want to elevate the renaming of these trees or the naming of these trees, or do you want to?
I think because that was on the agenda since January, mm-hmm. to come back as an item, I think that should be first.
Okay.
And since my motion was brought in, our former Chair Massey had brought the motion in August, I'd like to see that come back as second.
Okay.
And I think because we're all very concerned about our beloved Elwood Mesa, we want to find out when... We want an update on when this report will be finished. Because the public is curious as to what is going to happen to all these trees in the end.
Updates.
Right. Okay.
And a timetable, as part of this. When this report might be done and when the... this is an initial emergency situation on these trees that are being removed now, but what happens after this? So,
yeah, we'll talk to planning about coming out and giving you a report or an update with as much as they have to share now.
That would be really
maybe
nice.
All of your questions won't be answered, but no. At least it starts a dialogue with you guys.
Yeah, just so we kind of know what's going on.
Sure. Okay.
I move we adjourn.
I second. Meeting adjourned.
One could be so sad with gloom everywhere. I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon.